Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this on Tuesday, September 16th. With me this week is John Lancaster. He's our head of Europe, Middle East, and Africa Dairy and Food Consulting based in the Dublin, Ireland office. I asked John to come in this week because we had our annual EU, Dairy Market Risk Management and Outlook Conference that we hold in Dublin every year. This was about our 15th year of doing it. I think it was the seventh or eighth time that I've attended. The conference continues to grow. We keep selling it out, about 250 people each year. It's a well-positioned on the calendar with everybody getting back from summer holidays, the Southern Hemisphere season kicking off, and usually some interesting things happening in the dairy markets right around the time of the conference. And this year was no different, with prices dropping hard in Europe, downward pressure in the U.S., and GDT was a little bit, wasn't as bad as expected today, but we've seen pressure on Oceania pricing over the past two or three months as well. So, John, how do you think the conference went this year?
Overall, I think the conference went really well. Like you said, we had record number. We had about 200, just under 250 people booked in. We had attendees from all over Europe, which you'd expect being a European conference, but also from the US, from New Zealand, from the Middle East. So it was a really well attended event. And exactly to your point there, the timing this year was particularly good because we have had such a big market move in Europe in particular over the last month or so, and particularly the last 2 to 3 weeks.
How would you describe the sentiment at the conference?
Feels like a little bit like a trick question, Nish. Bearish is the only thing you could really say. The market has fallen so quickly. Very few people thought that we could get this type of a move this quickly. Even the people who had been bearish were expecting it to be take a little bit longer than it has to go down, and especially on the butter side. And talking to a broad range of the participants, you know, from producers to traders to end users, and it was very difficult to draw out, you know, what might be the bullish sentiment at this point in time, apart from maybe that too many people are short.
I hosted a panel that was mostly traders, and that was my last question for them, was what is the upside risk here? And all of them agreed that the upside risk was that everybody's short on the market, and if there's any kind of price strength, people are going to want to cover some of their shorts. End users are going to come in and want to get some coverage on, and that will drive the market higher. But that's really not a fundamental driver for the market. That might get you a rally for a couple of weeks, but then eventually the fundamentals come back into play.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with Blue Tongue last year and the kind of the other headwinds that the European production had been facing, until we actually saw the extra milk coming in, I think a lot of people were hesitant to really buy into the idea that there was going to be additional milk, which over the last, especially the last month and a half or 2 months, we're getting, you know, stronger milk collections pretty much across all of the main dairy producers across Europe. Weather has been favorable, but also with the blue tongue piece last year and delayed calving for some of the herd across, you know, Netherlands, Belgium, France, Germany, the most affected countries by the blue tongue, a shift in milk production that's now, as we're going towards what should be the normal lower point of the year, September, October, for most of the continental European producers, that we've got this additional milk flowing through at probably the worst possible time when everything else is kicking in as well.
I was asking someone at the conference about that. So if we've seen a shift in calving in some of these blue tongue affected areas this year, which is helping to drive some of the growth that we're seeing in European production, is this a permanent shift in some of the seasonality in milk collections, or will these farmers try to shift that calving window back towards the spring a little bit more?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's very hard to cycle the cows that have been delayed earlier. I mean, you can try and shave off a couple of weeks, but shaving off a significant amount of time is relatively difficult without dropping off some potential milk production. And given the year that's in it, you know, from a farmer's point of view right now, the milk prices are lag commodity prices by usually 2 to 3 months. The farmers are getting a good milk price. They should be strongly incentivized to milk. And given the market signals of lower commodity prices, which we've seen over the last month in particular, it should be pretty obvious that the milk price is going to be dropping as we go into the end of this year and next year. So from that point of view, I think the farmers should be pretty well incentivized to keep milking those cows rather than maybe trying to get them back on more kind of traditional calving track, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think it through. So the cows that are calving right now are at the start of the lactation. So it's going to be, the decision to dry them off or not is still going to be 9 months out. Given where margins might be by then, maybe they dry them off early and try to get them back on the cycle.
Well, I'm more thinking about, say, the cows that got delayed earlier this year, let's say should have calved down in April and May and calved down in July and August, so that they're still in the relatively early parts of the lactation. Yeah.
But in any case, milk production is turning out better than, even I was expecting, and I was looking for pretty good growth. So there certainly is a supply side factor that is helping to drive these markets lower. What did you hear about demand at the conference?
I suppose, splitting kind of the European demand piece into the export and the domestic. The domestic demand seemed to be lackluster, particularly around the butter side. There's talk from bakeries and confectioners that demand was looking a little bit weaker. So it wasn't really feeding into a higher demand piece on the butter, or the opposite, more a weaker demand piece on the butter.
The thing that I was caught off guard by the most on the demand side was negative comments about domestic, inside of Europe, demand for cheese. That all year long, as far as I can tell, the cheese demand has been surprisingly good. It's helping to keep cheese production strong and absorbing a lot of solids. But over the past month, I've been hearing more and more anecdotal comments about weakening cheese demand. And that does give us the possibility that cheese production slows down and some of that milk shifts into butter powder. Have you heard anything recently on cheese demand?
A little bit. You know, some comments like what you've been saying there, that demand is a little bit weaker, but I haven't seen that as more of a widespread thing yet anyway.
Yeah. So you said splitting demand down between the domestic market and exports. Oh, what do you hear on the export side?
From what I've been hearing for most of the summer, new export demand has been pretty weak. I mean, realistically, Europe has priced itself out of the most markets, maybe with the exception of markets close by, markets that need quick delivery, where that's more important than, say, absolute price. But into markets that we should be competing against, into Southeast Asia, into Japan and Korea, etc., in part of the Middle East, and the US and New Zealand seem to have been, I mean, from a pricing point of view, have been more competitive for, you know, all of this year, effectively, or going back even further than that.
So strong production in Europe, weak domestic demand or weakening domestic demand, some struggles on the export side. Is there anything positive here?
So one of the most positive things I took from the conference was that Nate was less bearish than most of the attendees.
Yeah. The conference has made me a little bit more bearish, and seeing prices continuing to fall in the US, et cetera, I think you have to look at production across all the major dairy exporters and even some of the importing countries. Milk production has been growing, and clearly it's growing faster than demand. So we need to push some of these prices lower to slow down the supply side and to find some more demand. So clearly there is a strong bearish argument to make here, but pricing has already fallen so much that I think prices are back in line, broadly in line with the bearish fundamentals already. And I don't know that prices need to drop even more to match the fundamentals. I'm not sure the right way to say this. I run into this on my weekly video too, where my mind is going a little bit faster than my mouth can get it out. But effectively, I was bearish on European butter, and then butter prices fell 20 to 30%. And now all of a sudden it lines up with the fundamentals, and fundamentally you don't want to be bearish anymore, right? Maybe not as bearish as the sentiment was at the conference, but that doesn't mean the prices can't fall further. Now, today we had a GDT event. The expectations were down 1 to 5%, depending on who you talked to or which futures contract you looked at. And the GDT index was only down 0.8%. So it was down, but it was better than expected. There may be more global demand out there than we think at these lower price levels. And that could turn out to be at least supportive from current price levels now that prices have dropped to kind of match those bearish fundamentals.
Yeah, the Oceania product was better supported, I think a lot of people were expecting, but the European product was pretty weak on especially the mozzarella and skim and butter.
Yeah, at the GDT event, that's a fair decision.
Yeah, the GDT event, yes, yeah. Sorry.
All right, John, thanks for your time today.
No problem. Thanks, Nate. Thanks for having me.
The StoneX Dairy Team spans the US, EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments, and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through SA Stone Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and SA Stone Investment Advisors Inc., and SEC Registered Investment Advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of StoneX Group Inc. StoneX Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales. Company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority registration number FRN 446717 to provide to professional and eligible customers, including arrangement, execution, and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading, and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment Payment Services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. StoneX Financial Europe SA. SFEED is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under Company No. RC Lux B 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. StoneX Financial PTELTD Co. Reg. No. 20113059 8R SFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and is a capital market service licensee for dealing in capital market products. An exempt financial advisor for advising on investment products and issuing or promulgating analyses slash reports on investment products and a major payment institution for cross-border money transfer service. StoneX Financial HK Limited C No. BCQ152SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. StoneX Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. StoneX Financial Thai Limited SFA Akin 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission AFSL 345646. StoneX Securities Co. Limited SSJ Co. Reg. No. 01040104799 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Sir. ISIS Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any financial product. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation or needs and does not create a binding obligation on any of the StoneX Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and slash, or services provided by the FCM division of StoneX Financial Inc., SFID NFAID 0476094 or StoneX Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652 and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter OCC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ECPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the StoneX Group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, this podcast. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of StoneX Group Inc. The podcast herein is not directed to, or intended for distribution to or use by, any person or entity who is a citizen or resident of or located in any locality, state, country or other jurisdiction where such distribution, publication, availability or use would be contrary to law or regulation. Copyright 2024 StoneX Group Inc. All rights reserved.